Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Our guest on today's This Week in America is Dr. William Mizell, author of Computing Power Drives the Future, AI and the Next Big Thing. Computing power has long grown at an explosive rate. That rapid advance has allowed digital systems to do more each year. Computer power crossed a major threshold when it made artificial intelligence driven by deep neural networks economically feasible. And huge investments are being made in the ever larger computer centers to support AI. Dr. Mizell's book challenges the assumptions behind those huge investments and explains why the generative AI that is making all the news is overrated. William Mizell holds a PhD in electrical engineering from the University of Southern California and a BS from Caltech. He worked in the field of artificial intelligence for most of his career. His professional experience includes managing a computer science division for a defense company, founding and running a speech recognition technology company, and serving as an industry analyst for over 25 years. Dr. William Mizell, a seasoned expert in artificial intelligence with over 30 years of experience and author of Computing Power Drives the Future, AI and the Next Big Thing, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Mizell, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Rick. Nice to be here.
I am looking forward to this. A great topic, and it seems like every time you turn on the news, something has changed in the world of AI. I have no idea where we're going, so it's a pleasure to have you here so you can answer some of these questions for me. Let's start with the title, Computing Power. What exactly is meant by computing power?
Computing power is the total amount of digital computation available for use at a given time based on the hardware available at the time to deliver that computing. The most obvious source of computing power is computing centers with their racks of digital processors. But each smartphone is also a small computer, and the computing it does reduces the amount that has to be done in the so-called cloud, the computing centers reached over the internet. And of course, almost all consumer devices include a microprocessor, from microwave ovens to television sets. Computing power is a major driver of the economy, as critical as oil is today.
It's amazing how that has taken over and all the devices we have, and we don't even think about. There are many computers that we're running around with. How is computer power evolving? How have you seen this evolve in your 30 years of studying it?
Well, the growth in computer power has been typically related to the number of transistors you can fit on an integrated circuit chip. That growth is typically cited as Moore's Law, that the number of transistors technology allows putting on a chip doubles every 2 years. Another way of thinking about this is that the cost of a given amount of computing drops by half every 2 years. The growth in available computing power, however, has recently been accelerating. One reason is specialized processors such as NVIDIA's graphical processing units. They do many calculations at once rather than one after another. Another is the availability of the most powerful computing centers for anyone to rent time on through cloud computing centers like Amazon Web Services. Those centers take advantage of the efficiency of scale to reduce the cost of building and maintaining a computer center. This recent fast growth in computing power will have a huge economic impact, similar to what a significant increase in oil production might produce today.
It's amazing. Our guest on the program is Dr. William Mizell. That's spelled M-E-I-S-E-L. If you're Googling, and that's important because that's his website, williammizell.com. You go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link directly on to Dr. Mizell's website and get all the information on this and other books he's written, and order the books there as well. How does this growth relate to artificial intelligence? What's the impact of that?
Today's AI is based on the technology of machine learning using deep neural networks. Deep learning. The technology describing deep learning was fully developed in the 1980s, but computer power was too expensive to allow it to be fully exploited. The exponential growth in computing power over the years made it economically feasible fairly recently.
What are some of the applications of the deep neural networks you were talking about?
Today, many articles on artificial intelligence seem to ignore the contributions of the technology to productivity and research in the past and assume the future's very large neural networks, such as the large language models or more broadly, generative AI, such as ChatGPT. However, neural networks have been used on smaller problems to great effect. Deep learning technology is a statistical technique that can summarize the implications of very large databases that a human could not even absorb in a lifetime. For example, neural nets have made speech recognition, talking to computers, very impressive today. Most people talk to their smartphones, digital assistants such as Apple Siri or Google Assistant. Many talk to Amazon's Alexa in a speaker at home. As someone who has done research on speech recognition, I am very impressed by the ability of today's technology. You can dictate into Microsoft Word and have it transcribe what you say by just clicking on a microphone icon. Almost all radiologists dictate their reports to a computer while examining a screen image. Today, speech recognition is so easy to use that it doesn't seem to be treated as a triumph of AI, although it certainly allows a computer to do something that used to be a uniquely human ability. Other applications include self-driving cars, translation software, researching cancer cures, making production lines more efficient with robots, and many more cases. For example, a New York Times article this month concluded that Waymo's self-driving cars were involved in 91% fewer serious injury or death crashes and 80% fewer crashes at all that caused any injury compared to cars driven by humans. The technology for specific applications is very powerful and getting even more practical as computing costs drop.
The large language models like the ChatGPT you were talking about have impressed all of us with their ability to generate articles on any subject with just a simple text request and do it very quickly. How does that work? I'm amazed when I throw a bunch of paragraphs in there and they come back organized and making some sense.
Yeah, they use the largest neural networks to date and train them to guess words in an article using both the context of the article, the structure of the sentence, and the location of the paragraph within the article. By training them with a huge amount of computing to get accurate at this, they create a model that could generate an article based on a few keywords in a request. Even the developers were surprised at how well the software could imitate a human writer.
How do you view the performance of the current large language models?
The current large language models are best used as an aid to a human by summarizing knowledge in a specific area that a human can check, remove, or expand. Because the models are statistical, summarizing the data they have analyzed that is related to the keywords in the request, they can sometimes deliver results that reflect misinformation or objectionable content in the data they have analyzed. They can also create information similar to data they have analyzed, but which is not factual, such as referencing patents that don't exist. Such mistakes are often called hallucinations. This has led to companies using the technology in operations less than you might expect. The U.S. Census Bureau recently reported that only around 10% of firms meaningfully use the technology. A recent study by consulting firm McKinsey concluded that for most organizations, the use of AI has not yet significantly affected enterprise-wide profits. The Economist magazine recently summarized in an article, quote, 3 years into the generative AI wave, demand for the technology looks surprisingly flimsy, unquote. MIT Technology Review titled a recent article, The Great AI Hype Correction of 2025. There's further wide discussion that providers of the generative AI models will have difficulty in making profits that cover their high expenses.
Well, there are huge investments being currently made on computer centers to support much larger neural networks, with some of the companies even building nuclear power plants to provide power dedicated to the computer center. The goal is sometimes stated as developing superintelligence that will exceed human intelligence. Do you think these large neural networks will deliver practical results?
No. Straightforward. I've gone on the record in my book and blog entries predicting the next generation of generative AI using the much larger neural networks will fail completely because of the lack of sufficient quality data needed to make the larger networks avoid creating nonsense. Nonsense will result from the huge number of parameters being optimized in the very large models overfitting the data, which gives too much weight to individual data entries. I said the larger models will generate artificial ignorance. There's already evidence this is occurring. For example, the next generation of ChatGPT, ChatGPT-5, advertises an update to ChatGPT-4, did not exhibit improved behavior to the extent that OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has set off a code red alert to employees to improve ChatGPT and delay other product developments, according to the Wall Street Journal. A number of other companies have delayed announcing new versions, apparently because of problems with their behavior. The impending failure of these huge investments in the very large neural networks has huge implications for the profitability of the companies investing billions in the huge computing centers.
It's amazing the economic impact on all of this. Our guest on the program is Dr. William Miesel, M-E-I-S-E-L. His book is Computing Power Drives the Future, AI and the Next Big Thing. His website is williammiesel.com. Book, of course, available wherever books are sold. A link to Dr. Miesel's website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The way you just finished that, that's a really strong statement in what you said and summarized it, and sort of different than what the impression would be, I think, of the average person that's trying to follow this. If the huge computer centers don't deliver super intelligence, then what will their use be?
Well, the computer centers built for generative AI are general purpose computer centers that could be used for other purposes. But it turns out they are not used for larger neural networks. The computing power will be sold to generate a return on the huge investments in the computing centers. The companies will become competitors for the highly profitable cloud computing services such as Amazon Web Services. The competition will drive down prices for advanced computing resources, just as an increased supply of oil creates a drop in oil prices.
What will all the cheap computing power be used for? Will it allow for major innovations still?
The cheap computing power will provide the fuel for innovative companies to introduce many new products and services at competitive prices. However, I believe the major impact on our use of digital systems will be the increased use of human language to interact with computers, a fundamental change in the way we interact with digital devices. Today, we can talk to Apple Siri and Google Assistant on our smartphones. We also use human language primarily by typing to the chatbots, such as ChatGPT or Google Gemini. A major innovation is that all of these channels now support the option to talk or type, although most haven't publicized the option. They're increasingly attempting to continue a dialogue by giving you answers rather than just dropping you into a list of websites. The talk or type option is important because it makes use of these digital assistants available in public environments where talking would be impolite or reveal private information while retaining the efficiency of the speaking option otherwise. The increased computer power will allow the digital assistants to be more like communicating with another human, and that they will be able to continue a conversation remembering the context of the current conversation as well as previous interactions. They will learn more about you in particular as you use them. They are already becoming an alternative to web search. We know how profitable that function could be by looking at Google's profits. Existing digital assistants, including Siri and Google Assistant, can also connect to other companies while continuing a conversation, although many users are unaware of that functionality and which companies support it. You could, for example, ask for your bank balance while talking to the digital assistant and then continue a conversation on another subject. The large language models are attempting to create similar capabilities through what they call agents. This makes them portals to the web in both providing information and interacting with particular websites.
This is just amazing. With all of that, who will deliver and control all these digital assistants?
Some of the large technology companies already have digital assistants they can build on. For example, Apple recently reported a change in executives and an increased focus on improving its digital assistant Siri. More generally, almost all the leading technology companies that are driving stock market gains because of huge profits are also investing in the next generation of generative AI. I've argued they will end up with huge computer centers and seek to find use for all that computer power they've invested in. Further, the improved talker-type digital assistants will become a major way consumers access the internet, and the technology companies will compete to profit from this opportunity. If some smaller companies show talent in aspects of building these assistants, they are likely to be acquired by the larger companies for their talent and for their intellectual property. An interesting side effect of the control of internet access by these large technology companies with reputations to support is that they will be under pressure to avoid the assistants directly providing objectionable content such as pornography or hate speech, as well as avoiding simple misinformation as much as possible. The companies already hire many human monitors to avoid delivering objectionable content. The models can learn to avoid such content automatically through review by the human monitors that is incorporated in the assistant models. Hopefully, this process will result in less misinformation and objectionable content being widely distributed through the internet and social networks as more people depend on their assistants for internet access. In an example of the effectiveness of a conversation rather than a web listing in engaging a user, separate studies published recently in the journals Nature and Science found that a short interaction with a chatbot powered by AI could meaningfully shift some people's opinions about a political candidate or issue. One of the studies found that having a brief conversation with a trained chatbot proved about four times as persuasive as television ads from recent American presidential elections. Conversation with its interaction can be persuasive.
You discussed the fact that countries, the U.S., China, perfect examples, making leading in AI a strategic objective, supporting it with massive government investment. How do you view this international competition?
Well, countries including the U.S. and Canada, China, have made leadership in artificial intelligence a major political
yes.
objective. Of course, applications of AI that don't involve language, and I won't comment on the broader issue here. In communicating with a digital assistant in human language, the language used is, of course, a fundamental feature. The U.S. has an advantage in that English is an international language, a second language in many countries. But China has a huge population, and they can easily lead in Chinese language digital assistants. But the government will, of course, control the content delivered by those assistants. If digital assistants become the important AI advance I argue they will become, the English digital assistants will have an advantage. It is unlikely anyone outside China would accept an English-speaking assistant approved by the Chinese government.
Our guest on the program is Dr. William Miesel. If you're just joining us, M-E-I-S-E-L. The book is called Computing Power Drives the Future. The book available wherever books are sold, and you can get information also on other books written by Dr. Miesel at his website, williammiesel.com. You've got a chapter on the human brain in your book. How do neural networks relate to the human neurons in the brain?
Well, the neural network name was chosen because the mathematical model was indeed inspired by how human neurons in the brain work. The model is an approximation to how human neurons learn and store information. The memory in the brain is stored in the connections between neurons, the synapses, which change their strength of connection as they learn. The mathematical neurons use digital values, weights, to store their strength of connection, and of course, they operate much faster than human neurons. Both learn by changing weights to meet an objective. Deep neural networks have a layered structure. The human brain is not so simply organized. Nevertheless, the success of neural networks does give some insight into why the brain can learn to recognize patterns.
If you would, please summarize some of the key points that we've talked about, particularly the fact that generative AI that's making all the news is overrated. As a consumer, it's interesting to know what to watch for when we're seeing the progression, when we're seeing the news stories. Summarize, if you would, the main points that you just brought out, and you'll find and so much more in the book, Computing Power Drives the Future.
Yeah, as you suggest, the main takeaways are that the assumption that ever bigger neural networks are better is deeply flawed. The amount of quality data needed grows exponentially with the number of parameters being optimized in the learning process. Thus, the huge investments being made in computer centers to train the very large neural networks will fail in their goal of a smarter model in general, and certainly not generate superintelligence. This implies there will be a huge increase in overall computing power as these huge computer centers are used for less ambitious AI applications and for general computing. They will be converted to cloud computing centers, resulting in a rapid drop in the cost of computing as they compete with each other. This huge resource will inspire many products and services that would have been too expensive previously. I've argued that one of the most impactful of these new or enhanced services will be talker text digital assistants that can maintain a conversation, become personalized, and become the primary way we connect with the web and with software applications. For a deeper discussion of these points and more, I refer the listener to my recent book, Computing Power Drives the Future.
There's so much in there, and we've just touched the surface on a program today. Got a couple of minutes left. I want to talk specifically, just for a few minutes here at the end, the major impact on society and economy. We've talked about the competition between nations, society and economy. How do you see the implication playing out there and the major impacts, the effect it's going to have on both those categories?
Yeah, actually, one of my earlier books was Evolution Continues, and basically talking about how computers are one of our tools, and tools have always been part of what it means to be human. You aren't limited by your legs on how far you'll go to the grocery store. You jump in your car.
Yes.
It's an extension of your legs, if you want to think of it that way. So in a way, you know, our tools are part of what it means to be human. And the fact that we can connect with these very powerful computers with just human language actually, you know, adds to how smart we can be. I mean, if nothing else, it certainly puts a lot of facts at your disposal that you couldn't possibly remember otherwise. You just ask, you're already used to asking Google, for example, what the something about you that you want to know about. Now it'll just be at your lips,
yes,
and so to speak.
How about, I see all of this and people arguing that it's going to be good, it's going to be bad. I keep thinking of medicine. Is that one of the areas where this could really be effective in finding cures for cancer and some of these other diseases that have eluded us for so many years?
Yeah, well, in fact, there was a lecture. I'm a Caltech alumni, and Caltech has a seminar day. And one of the professors, David Thompson, there talked about an AI assistant that he had built using millions of actual human cancers that he had collected, having been removed from patients around the LA area, that he processed into data that he let drive with this artificial intelligence. And I view it, he was very modest in his claims about it in his lecture, but, and it's in my book, I discuss it in some detail in my book. I see it as basically almost what what he did is find, he can take a particular cancer and ask this artificial intelligence what things need to be modified to cure that cancer. And of course, then we can do use some of these technologies like genetic engineering to teach our own T cells how to attack the cancer. Now, this is early, and it's going to take years, of course, for all this to be tested on humans and so
Yes.
forth. It's been tested on in the laboratory on mice and so forth. But that's just one example of how this can how this will change healthcare. I mean, cancer is the leading cause of death in this country. So it's that particular result hasn't been publicized because it sounds almost so advanced that I think he probably wants to be careful about how he publicizes the results.
Well, that's good news that it is being used for very positive things like that. When you were a speech recognition a pioneer years ago, 30 years ago, did you have any idea where we'd be in 2025, 2026? Are we where you thought we'd be, or we've exceeded maybe your expectations of where we are going to be with computing?
Well, to me, it's almost miraculous how well these digital assistants like Apple Siri
Oh, yes.
and work. Yeah, and just even with Microsoft Word, of course, as I mentioned, you can just click on a dictate icon and just dictate. It'll make a few mistakes, but when they actually test these things, they do better than human translators and transcribers. So, it's rather amazing what we can do nowadays. I spent 10 years of my life trying to get this to work, and then when I finally figured out what it took to work, I realized it was just unaffordable. At the time I did it, I had to dedicate a whole computer to it, and it was just too expensive
Yes.
to be useful. It actually worked to some degree. We had a little dictation system for radiologists. That we gave them to the doctors for free. They used it and they loved it, but nobody could afford it. So until I actually developed the technology, I didn't realize how much computing power it required. I'm afraid I never was able to make a success of that, although I managed to talk a venture capitalist out of $24 million, which was a lot of money in those days.
And still is. That's impressive that they were following your dream as well and saw the potential there. One more quick question before we go. And the battle now is who is going to control this? You've got all of these possibilities out there. You've got the government, federal government saying, we want to control it. You've got the individual states say, no, thank you. We'd like to control on our end. And when you think about it, the stakes are pretty high here. How do you feel about control? And do we need a central place to control all of this?
Well, of course, in China, there will be central control.
Yes.
We won't have it here. We're going to have competition. But the companies that are competing are these very large technology companies that do feel they have some responsibility, and they get challenged if, for example, they put information out there that's incorrect. It maybe hurts someone or something of that sort. They face lawsuits, et cetera. So the fact that these are controlled by the large technology companies who actually hire hundreds of thousands of content moderators as part-time employees, will, I think, create a source of information for people that is moderated to the best that these large companies can do.
Yes.
And that if that substitutes for getting all your information from X or Twitter or whatever, and social media, if you get it through your digital assistant, where the large companies try to make it something that is acceptable, I think that might be a lot better than the government trying to control it.
Boy, the time has gone by so quickly. That's why Dr. Mizell wrote the book. He can't compress it all into a 30-minute interview, so buy the book. Great information there. It's amazing where we were when Dr. Mizell and others started decades ago and where we are now and where we're possibly headed. The book is Computer Power Drives the Future, AI and the Next Big Thing. Computing Drives the Future and AI, the Next Big Thing. It's available wherever books are sold. It's available at Dr. Mizell's website, William Mizell, MEISEL.com. Information there and the other books that he has written, and you'll be able to follow him in his career and what he's doing and all of the major announcements as they occur. By going to, we can link out by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. My thanks to King Pages Press, Dr. Mizell's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. So much great information there. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can do this at least another time. So much more to talk about. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate your having me.
It's been an eye-opener, and the book is available wherever books are sold. Computing Power Drives the Future, Dr. William Mizell, M-E-I-S-E-L. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.